To go.
Welcome, Representative Ward. We have House File 2072. You want to describe it, discuss it, and then we'll move it when we get a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Seems like I was just with you people, but anyhow.
We're.
This is a House File 2072 is a bill that is updating a reference. It's making exchange students that want to be counted as resident pupils, they can do that as long as they register with the Office of the Secretary of State. That's it, Mr. Chair. It's just updating the reference.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Ward, am I correct in understanding this is a bill that puts into law what's already in law?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ward.
Representative Biskins, yes.
Say yes.
It's updating the reference.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more question.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Ward, are you privy to whether or not this is a midsize, a compact, or a luxury vehicle that we're hearing right now?
Representative Ward.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, I'm never privy to anything around here. Thank you.
Any other discussion on this particular bill? Okay, there's one more. Can I just move on with mine?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. I'll be moving the bill, and so I think you're free. I'm going to do the next one, House File 3699, and there will be a delete all amendment with that. This is a vehicle, of course. This bill is an authorization for discretionary levy for school districts, the delete all. And no, does everyone have that? It's allowance for fiscal year 2008 to $5,074, and the formula allowance for 2009 subsequent years is $5,124. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, are we in competition with Denny Hecker here?
Lots of vehicles on
that. Representative Biskins, I don't know. We haven't had him come testify yet.
I think his next wife's here.
Are we there now? All right, we now have quorum. Call the meeting to order.
Representative, I'll move that 2072 be recognized, pass, and we're referred to the floor.
Okay, I'm going to wait a moment.
Okay.
I'd like to know if you have read the minutes of May 4th.
Sure, I never read the minutes. I always trust the administrator and the secretary.
Representative Junkie, have you read the minutes?
I do the same as my roommate.
Representative Hausman. Very good. Representative Hausman moves the minutes for May 4th, 2010. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. It does. All right. I will move House File 2072, the division report for House File 2072. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
All right. We have heard the testimony, so I move House File 2072 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. We're now on to 3699. I move House File 3699 be recommended to pass and placed on general register, and there is a D-E-1 amendment, a delete all. I've already discussed this bill. Is there any further discussion?
Chair, just move the delete all amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do that. All right, I move the amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Now I introduce the DE amendment. All right. Any discussion on the DE amendment? All right. You're right. All right. I now move. I was here till 3 this morning. I move the House File 3699 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
As amended.
As amended. Okay, Representative Eakin and Representative Lanning, you each can come down if you would, present the bill.
Chair, you need my mic.
Senate File 3379, Representative Paymar.
I move the Public Safety Finance Division report for House File 3795.
All right. All right, we'll be acting on the House file. Representative Paymar moves the Public Safety and Finance Division report for House File 3795. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Paymar?
Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 3795 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Representative Paymar moves House File 3795 to be recommended for pass and referred to Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Paymar, do you have an amendment?
Mr. Chair, I have the A1 amendment, and when we heard the bill in Public Safety Finance, we also heard an identical bill from Representative Lanning, and there was a motion to pass both of the bills, which we have done in this. This amendment simply states that only one appropriation can be made. So I would move the A1 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Paymar moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Biskins.
It's not in my possession at this time.
There it is.
Thank you very much.
All right, I announce that. All right, with this amendment, would everyone make the following change on line 1.1, where it says moves to amend Senate File Number 3379, cross out Senate File Number 3379, and insert House File 3795.
Five.
Five doesn't look like an S here. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman?
Whoops.
Which amendment are we on, Mr. Chairman?
We are on 3795. We have just to, it is the A1 amendment.
A1, okay, thanks.
Yeah, 3379A1. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. All right, we're moving the House file because. All right, the next amendment is corrections to the bonding. Representative Paymar?
That's me.
No, I don't think.
Okay. All right, we're going to have you explain the bill, I guess, before we move on to the next amendment.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And this is a bill for an appropriation of $3.7 million for flood disaster relief efforts as a result of this last spring's flooding. And it affects many counties. 18 different counties originally were in this disaster relief bill. These were counties that were declared federal disaster areas by President Obama. And since then, there have been six other counties that have also been added. If you look at your map in the packets, it shows those that were originally included in the shaded area. So it goes all along the Red River and the Minnesota River. Again, this map is what were initially in that declaration, but now we have also added the counties of Cottonwood, McLeod, Pennington, Ramsey, Red Lake, and Stevens. And the reason that they're included is because they did meet the threshold necessary to be declared a federal disaster area. Each county must need $3.23 per capita in reaching the threshold of damage costs. And so, again, the cost may change, so this really is an estimate of what it's going to cost. It's been said that it may be closer to $4 million, but we need this appropriation immediately because obviously costs have already been incurred, and this is to reimburse the local governments for their share of the cleanup efforts after the flooding. The federal government picks up 75%, and the state and locals pick up the other 25%, and this basically is picking up that 25%. That's what we've been doing traditionally. Last year's floods was covered by the state, the 25% portion, so too the flood in southeast Minnesota. So, again, this is what we've been doing in the past, stepping forward when people are facing disasters of this sort and picking up that local share.
Representative Lanning, would you like to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I would echo Representative Eakin's comments. The state of Minnesota has always been there in the past to help local units of government recover damages and costs that were incurred whenever a disaster has been declared. We did so last year during the record flood of 2009, and we are asking that be done again this year. You need to know that this, by asking the state to pick up the full 25%, that local units of government have still been really impacted in significant ways. My city, as an example, in recent years has spent $10 million of its own money, raised $10 million of its own money to put in place flood mitigation efforts to minimize damages. And in fact, the folks from Homeland Security can attest to the fact that the measures that my city undertook to help prevent future damages made a real difference in this flood of 2010. And there is more work to be done. Thanks to this year's bonding bill, we will have an additional appropriation to do further flood mitigation work. But I want to point out that the dollars appropriated through the capital investment bill are not dollars that go towards covering damages that have been incurred with a particular disaster. So whatever appropriation we end up with, any community ends up with from the bonding bill, is for future flood mitigation effort. It's not intended to help communities recover damages that they've received in the most recent disaster. So with that, Mr. Chairman and members, we would ask for your support. And Chris Idy, Chair of Homeland Security, the Director of Homeland Security, is here to also talk about the process that they go through in reviewing, documenting all of these costs.
Thank you, Representative Lanning.
I'd like to introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Chris Idy, and I'm the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And I'm happy to talk about the process that we go through when a disaster happens. When a disaster happens, we do a lot of the upfront preparation work. So many of that work takes our local units of government additional overtime, a lot of resources, rental of equipment, the cost of preparing for a particular flood is mostly out of the ordinary and over the capacity of the local unit of government. Then when we have a flood, not only are there damages, but there are also more costs incurred. Once that happens, then the governor requests a preliminary damage assessment, and we do that preliminary damage assessment jointly with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. At that time, we have preliminary costs that they have incurred and the cost of the damages that they have incurred. At that point, then we will request a declaration of a major disaster. We have two thresholds to meet. The state in a whole has to meet $1.29, and each individual county has to meet $3.23 worth of costs and damages to be eligible to receive the 75% federal amount. At that point, then we, if the water is still up as it was in this case in several of the areas, we then will go back after we receive that presidential declaration, and we will reassess the damage that has occurred. And that's what happened in these additional six counties, that they were not in a location where we could get to them to assess the damage, or there was damages and costs incurred that were uncovered following the declaration. So that's why we have a couple of different issues here with the 18 original and the six add-on counties.
Thank you. I believe, Representative Hausman, you have an amendment. I think it would be appropriate for us to...
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill first,
okay,
if I could. May I speak to the bill now?
Yes.
Members, I became aware of this bill from a news article. That a bill had been introduced. You see, this bill was introduced April 26 after the bill deadline. And in the Senate, as of course often happens in the Senate, it sailed through and it passed on the Senate floor unanimously. And I started asking, where are we going to get this cash? Because I can tell you, when my bonding bill was up, I had to go to a large room of advocates for housing for people who are homeless, and tell them I couldn't do their nonprofit housing bonds this year because we had no cash. And they challenged me a little bit about priorities, but I convinced them there is no cash. I don't have cash in my bill. And so, surprise, surprise, when I said, where are we getting this cash, I was told we're taking it from the bottom line. I read that the senator in charge said, that we'll go to our savings account and we'll take this money out. I read the article in the newspaper, and what this money is for is to assume responsibility for the local share. There's lots of federal money and a lot of state money that goes into this, but we are lifting the burden for the local share. And what I've heard the authors say this morning is, we're doing this because we've always done this. This is how we always do flood relief. The article that recounted the passage in the Senate was from a reporter in that region. And I thought he gets the irony of this, because here was the last sentence in his article. The state is borrowing from schools to pay its bills. That was the reporter's last sentence in his column about this bill. And I thought, this reporter kind of gets this. The state is borrowing from schools to pay its bills. We're told that this was a disaster and that we've always responded to disasters in this way. Folks, there are so many disasters right now, and the bewilderment for me is, how did this one go absolutely to the head of the line against everything else that we have this week? This one went to the head of the line and is so important. We're going to take the money out of our savings account to pay for this. So, members, I'm actually going to move an amendment to this, too, because it's also going to become a bonding bill now, but I am going to be opposing this. It's a bipartisan bill, as you can see, and so I may be the only no vote, but this just strikes me as really bewildering, and I just have no answer for how we can be doing this. But now I will move the amendment, Mr. Chair, because
thank
I was asked to move
Hausman.
This amendment. It is an amendment that fixes some language from three projects. As you know, when we change even any part of how we spend money, this is no new money for these three bonding projects, but they're going to be used in a slightly different way. So Hennepin County Medical Center said, pre-design and design. Now they can also spend some of it to construct and equip.
I think I'll just interrupt you. Everyone's looking for the amendments, the 8-10-479.
479.
Okay.
And the you see the Olmsted County Steam Line extension, that any portion is reappropriated to Minsky to convert heating and cooling systems within Rochester Community and Technical. And in the case of the Osseo Independent School District, we initially equipped the Northwest Hennepin Family Center, and they have added the words "and parking facility." This, when this amendment is added, this does in fact become a bonding bill. It will require 81 votes on the House floor, and as a result, it does also have to be a House file and acted on in the House first. And I don't know how you're going to do that, because it, as I don't know what the nature of the underlying bill is. It's already passed in the Senate, but that's somebody else's problem.
Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Representative Hausman, I think you just stated at the end there what I wanted to say is that this will, because it's now a bonding bill, has to be a House file as well. So.
Further discussion, Representative Thiessen?
No.
Just want to get ready to vote.
We are acting on this House file right now. Any further discussion? All right, we'll vote on the amendment, the 810-479 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
Motion fails. Any further discussion on the bill?
You announced that it failed?
No, passed.
Oh, you said failed.
Yep. You said failed. Prevailed.
Oh, prevailed. Sorry. Excuse me. Okay.
All passed.
Pardon me.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Thiessen.
So this is a House file, but a Senate file has come over, as in the House. Those will go to comparison and become a Senate file?
Representative Carlson, maybe you'll...
And the front desk
Carlson.
Is aware that...
No, I just don't know. Does that amendment kill the bill, is all I'm saying.
No. 81 votes now.
I understand that, but procedurally we can figure out how to make this a House file?
We're doing that right now, and the front desk is aware that...
Chairman,
we're going to be reporting on a House file.
It's kind of a yes or no question, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. And I'm reminded the procedure, because we did the research on this, it will require, when it gets to the Senate, three readings in the Senate. This is the way that...
Okay, so we can still...
But that's what I mean. The front desk is right. Giving us advice, and it will work just fine.
All right.
Representative Biskins. No?
And
I see Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, have the A1 amendments been adopted to both of these? I was out of here.
It has on this on the House file. Representative Hausman.
And Mr. Chair, just one more observation. Senator Langseth is the author in the Senate. Now Representative Eakin will be the author in the House. And I have to trust that they don't make this a larger bonding bill that we don't have a discussion about.
Representative Junkie.
Well, I'm just curious, Representative Solberg or Carlson, following up on Representative Hausman, and I think I emailed this to people, too, a couple weeks ago. How much other money do we have laying around here? If we were able to find $3.5 million on the bottom line, I mean, I'm curious because our committee doesn't have any. And you know, we did our budget resolutions. How much bottom line money do we still have here that's floating around?
Thank you. Mr. Chair,
Representative Solberg,
Representative Junkie, you can. The budget resolution is a public document. In the bottom line, there's for other bills, and of that commitment that have been made at the present time, there's the claims bill. There's this bill. There's the pension bill and the difficulties that we have with, we're trying to address with the student aid, with the $43 million cut in students. We're trying our best to address some of those issues. When we address those issues, I think we're down to, on the bottom line, $800,000.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, I know you are as concerned as I am about the mess going on in higher education in general, but in the state grant program in particular. So on page 3, I'm curious of your amendment, how much do you anticipate, if anything, would be left over from that $5 million? Because we still have a $43 million hole to plug in the state grant program, and OHE has came to my office last week and said that they wanted to withhold another 10%, I believe. Ms. Novak, help me out. 7 to 10% of the what money is left, anticipating there might be another shortfall. And we asked them where they thought they had the authority, and they said the Office of Management and Budget said they did, and it's kind of like an allotment issue where we don't think they have the authority, and they're going to be putting more money aside. And I'm just wondering, could I have this money? Can this go to my committee so I can look, and if there's any money, we'll put in the state grant program?
No. Representative House?
Yes, Mr. Chair, yes. Representative Rukavina, if they didn't check this out with you, I'm happy to have you remove that from the amendment.
I just want it for the state grant program. I want to help the students.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, this is a bonding provision, and you cannot take the bonding procedures and put it into that. You'd probably have a little bit of money in the next biennium that would come back and as a cancellation. But this is, as I understand it, is a bonding procedure.
Well, Mr. Proceed. Chair, Representative Solberg, what would be more important than us bonding with the students?
Well, you have to be a little bit careful about that, Representative.
Representative Champion.
To that question, and I recognize that I'm the newbie around the table, so I'm asking this question. I recognize that when the bonding bill went forward, that all of the bonding projects for people of color were opted out. And I know that there was a, and I know that Representative Hausman had put forth some legislation that would bring those projects back. Specifically, there was money for the Asian Pacific Cultural Center. There was the African American Museum. There was something for Native Americans. A number of bonding opportunities for those projects. So I want to know how that plays into this equation and why those projects were not raised to the level of these.
Very good question.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yeah, well, you know what? I want to know if maybe Representative Hausman or maybe Representative Solberg could speak to that question since we're talking about money and bonding proceeds. So perhaps he should take a stab first and then Representative Hausman can
I'm sorry.
Mr. Solberg.
Yes.
He was asking, why don't you repeat the question instead of my doing it for Representative Solberg.
I recognize that when we looked at the bonding bill that the governor vetoed all the projects of color. Mm-hmm. And I know that Representative Hausman put forth a bill to bring those bonding opportunities back before us. So I want to know, is there the possibility, based on the monies that we have left around, to support those bonding opportunities for communities of color? And I did name that there was the Asian Pacific Cultural Center, there's the African American Museum, there's something for the Native American community, and so I want to know how you see that working, Representative Silver.
Representative Champion, I concur wholeheartedly with your concern, and you know that. And some of those bonding projects we have put forward several times, and every time they seem to have the magic V pen associated with them. At the present time, and as we are dealing with the unallotment as well procedures, I will have to very, very reluctantly say that there's no other resources available for that. It's not because of my desire to not do that. I think Representative Hausman and I have consistently been saying that that those are priorities. In fact, as she was kind of surprised at me, I think, when I had such strong support for the Asian center. I looked at that possibility and I said, coming from northern Minnesota, that I think that's a huge project, and I am extremely disappointed that it was not funded.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, and maybe Representative Hausman can expand. This is a revenue-neutral amendment. These are not new projects. It was my understanding when the amendment came forward, or maybe Representative Eakin can comment, these are corrections in some of the numbers that for projects that have already been authorized, and the bottom line is revenue-neutral or bonding authority-neutral. Maybe Representative Eakin can comment.
Representative Eakin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, that's absolutely correct. There's no new money in here at all. This is just simply some technical changes that expands the use of those dollars so that they can be used for things in the same projects, but expanding how they can be used in those projects. In the case of the trail here, the trail connections, that's just simply expanding the timeline because they were not able to expend those dollars in the timeline that was allotted. Because of some difficulties in the area of the Vermilion State Park, where there was a question of who's going to be owning the lands there, so it took more time to get the easements necessary. So again, there's no new money here. It's just simply some technical changes to allow greater flexibility in how those dollars are being used for those projects.
Representative Thiessen.
So, and forgive me for not knowing, but are there fiscal notes on the interest payments that come with bonding projects? Is that how you do that?
Representative Hausman.
Debt service. And I did talk to Mr. Marks, because when you extend the date, we have occasionally had to scale back the extension of that date because it does affect the cost. And I don't know if Mr. Marks has had an opportunity to see whether the June 30, 20, I think we said because it is a relatively small amount that's left here, that it does not change future.
Mr. Marks?
My question was not going to, I'm sure that's right. My question was going to your bill that Representative Champion was talking about. You know, the interest rate payments on that can't be significant.
Representative Hausman?
The debt service? Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be, what, a couple tens of thousands of dollars?
On just that one project?
On his projects that he signed, the three projects?
It would probably be less than that.
Maybe we should lay this bill over and you should bring your bill down and get an amendment drafted.
Yeah. Can I make that motion? I don't want to disrespect the author, but I think this is an important discussion because I would like to have some time to work with Representative Hausman to get an amendment to be placed on to this bill.
Are you making a motion at this point?
I'm making a motion to lay it on the table.
Or you can do it on the floor.
Lay it over.
And
all right, done. You can do it in Ways and Means.
I can do it in Ways and Means. Well, it looks like the pleasure. Well, I'm trying to get some support from
Mr. Chair.
We're calling Representative Eakin.
Representative Eakin.
If I could respond. Well, I have some concerns about just expanding it beyond what we already have, but I think it's something that could be considered as it moves along, and we can be in contact with some of the other members who may have some concerns about that, the expansion. But it's going to be going to Ways and Means Committee next, so there will be an opportunity there to possibly amend, and I would certainly discuss it with Representative Champion.
Representative Champion.
Thank you for that. I sincerely appreciate that. But one thing that I've learned about this particular wonderful place, that sometimes things change, and I'm not saying that your opinion will change, but there's no better time than the right now. So can I direct staff to prepare an amendment right now? And I would like to do that.
You'll have to.
I don't think they'd be able to prepare it now, if that's the request.
It's a... Mr.
I'm advised they're not able to prepare it right now.
It's a Representative Hausman bill, right?
Yeah.
Her amendment.
No, but she has the bill that does it.
Yeah.
Can't we just pull off the bill from the...
Representative
Print it off?
Yes.
And RIM. We'll add RIM.
Well, if you take the money.
Representative Junkie, you've been.
Well, thank you, members, and I don't think this is. I'll help the newbie out too over there. No, this probably isn't time. You don't have time to draft up amendments. Certainly, moving forward, working with Hausman and Eakin, the authors, and the bonding chair. But again, you asked, you know, how this got here or what's going on here. This came from the Senate. This didn't get done by our bonding chair. She's offering it. This is all Senate stuff. So someone in the Senate, a senator, said, well, you know, we got leftover money, you know, here for this project. That's the Osseo School District, and we want to put it into a parking facility, not just the building. So they made, okay, we're going to take that leftover money rather than do a project you want to do. One of the senators said, well, yeah, let's put it in the parking lot out here, too, and then we can use all the money. Or, you know, it didn't quite work out the way they came and testified in the Rochester College to do a steam heat from renewable energy, which we all thought we were doing. And according to this now, they're just going to do steam heat from electrical energy, which is probably not renewable. But, again, one of the senators over there decided this was a thing to do, and so they sent this amendment over, and Representative Hausman is graciously offering it. But none of the House members have had any input to any of this, other than I had some input and I asked Representative Eakin to take out one of the projects I saw in here, and he did, and I appreciate that because it's a project that my committee oversees, a veterans project that we hadn't seen, and I was uncomfortable moving it forward. So, again, that's how it works here. You know, our senators are giving us instructions on what to do, and we're helping them out.
Why don't we switch? We're going to get some more high-powered leadership here.
Mr. Chair?
I think we, you know, just, you know, this came to us through Representative Eakin, and it was to correct some of the numbers with previously passed bonding bills. I don't think that there was any intent to create a bonding bill here. And I think we have to have that clarified. And I think when we begin to talk about other projects, that opens up a much broader question than I thought was before us. Representative Hausman.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think the issue that Representative Champion understands now, and this is the underlying bill, House File 3795, that's before us. At this point in the game, it's kind of whoever asks. And I think he just thought, okay, 3795, they just found some cash for these people because they asked on April 26th. And that is what happens. When you introduce a bill like this, after the fact, other people say, why not mine? That's what happens. And so it's the underlying bill that's the issue here. One group is coming forward saying, we still want a little bit. We didn't get everything yet this year, and so we just want a little bit. So Representative Champion is understanding. He takes his lesson, and he realizes, well, they asked, I'm going to ask. And that is what happens when you make exceptions at the end of a very what should be an orderly process in terms of our budget. So I would suggest it's the underlying bill that he's taking a lesson from.
Mr. Chairman?
Could we let me, Representative Eakin, any idea what happened? I was told this is to correct some of the numbers from some of the previous projects, revenue neutral. What happens if this doesn't go forward? I think that's probably an important question because it was basically my understanding to be a housekeeping amendment. So maybe you or Representative Nelson, who's at the table, and then we'll get all three of you at some point. Representative Lanning wants to be recognized as well. But Representative Eakin, being it's going on your bill.
This is housekeeping.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Well, again, these monies are already there. It's a matter of where these whether these monies will be able to be expended, for instance, in the trail, in the case of the trail, whether there will be the timeline necessary to expend those dollars. In the case of the green pipes, whether or not they'll be able to put in the additional piping that they could because there was more money left on the bottom line. There was a little less than $1 million that was left on the bottom line. Now, those dollars can be used to expand those green pipes so that they'll be able to heat a couple more buildings, and it's going to be cheaper. So I think that the outcome will be that you won't have the efficient use of these dollars, and you're going to end up losing more money. A good example would be, you know, the green pipes that I was just discussing. It's going to cost more if you use electricity instead of these green pipes. So, again, this is a way to use those dollars, give some flexibility in how those dollars are being used to make sure they're being used in the most cost-efficient and effective way possible. So I think it's a matter of efficiency, and, again, it's not costing anything. It's not any additional dollars here. This is just a more effective and efficient use of those dollars. And I did want to also address just the underlining bill here and to talk about making an exception towards the end. We can't time floods. We can't time tornadoes. We can't time natural disasters. When the floods occurred in southeast Minnesota, that happened when we were out of session. But we all came together in a special session to make sure that we came to the aid of those fellow Minnesotans who were in need. And I want to make it clear, too, that these communities that have been affected by these floods have already been very negatively affected by the budget deficit. We have had made significant cuts to local government aids and to counties, and to not step forward and help them at this time of need would just simply be adding insult to injury and kicking people when they're down. And we've always come forward during times of disaster like that. We've always made exceptions when natural disasters have hit.
Okay, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the committee. The part of the bill that's in here for the school district, and I took a little umbrage of what Representative Junke said, because it's not what this is just a technical correction of language. This was a bill that was passed in 2008. It was in the bonding bill. But because of technicality of who owns the land and how the bonding language was structured, they can't use the money. But they'd have to compartmentalize the building that they're building and be like taking Representative Junkie's office and making that owned by one part, and then Representative Rukavina's office owned by somebody else. And they'd have to condominiumize the building to do that. This is a solution by adding this language to it. It allows Hennepin County and Osseo School District, who have partnered together to create this family service center, which is going to help serve the community and the community of color in that area, to be able to come together and get this building built. And that's what this is about. It's just existing bonding money that was there. It's no new bonding project. It's not something that's coming out in the dark of the night. This is a building that was, like I said, we've been on the radar for a long time. It's just a technical correction to how the bill was passed to allow them to use this money so this facility can go forward.
Okay, Representative Lining.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I need to correct an impression that Representative Hausman's comments may leave. I started getting signatures, co-authors on my bill the week before, the week of the 19th of April, and I think the Department of Homeland Security did a remarkable job trying to collect enough information to prepare a bill by that period of time. I mean, the flooding occurred here in late March, early April. And for them to be able to assemble all that information, get it in reasonable form to have a sense as to what the damages were, I think is remarkable. And to somehow imply that they've missed a deadline? Folks, when a disaster occurs, you don't have deadlines. You've got to work fast, and that's exactly what happened here, to come up with an estimate as to what the local damages were going to be. So please keep that in mind.
Now, back on the amendment, Representative Houseman, are you comfortable moving forward with it as technical changes?
Mr. Chair, I'm voting against the underlying bill, so I feel a little awkward. It's really not. I'm going to be in opposition to the bill.
But the amendment deals with your committee's jurisdiction.
The amendment is something we do all the time. We change language to existing dollars.
You know, and when I had the years ago the Education Division of Appropriations, it was not uncommon, because we didn't have a capital investment committee in those days, where we would make corrections relative to projects to better align the law
with what the intent of the project was. And sometimes that was necessary because you couldn't change a project as it was described in earlier bills and get the bonds issued. The bonding houses watch very closely that the language matches the intent of the bill. But I think we all understand, though, that when this moves forward, there is a bonding bill that will be out on the House floor. So that's why it's important that people understand that this is, the intent of this is to be a housekeeping bill to better align current authorizations with what the needs of the projects are. And this late in the session, I don't think we need to, get sidetracked other than the corrections, but that's up to the committee because the amendment's before us. So any further discussion? Representative Clark, you're on the list.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I want to say we have a housing bonding bill that is in Representative Hausman's committee right now, and we had, the meeting was going to be, I think, today, and it had to be canceled because of the schedule and so on. But it is something that's been worked on for more than a year, and it doesn't involve new money. It's revenue neutral. It uses existing appropriations. So, Representative Eakin, I guess I'd like to talk with you about that. If this bonding bill goes forward, it's had hearings in numerous committees, and talked about it with Representative Solberg and Representative Carlson, and all throughout the whole process has been very, very well discussed. So if we are going to go forward with the bonding bill that's underlying this, I'd like to just say that that would be something I'd like to talk with you about, because it's a statewide bill dealing with the fact that we put no resources really this year into foreclosures or any of those kinds of issues. And it's a very serious attempt to try to provide some funding, revenue neutral, because it uses existing appropriations. So we could talk about that. I just wanted to share that with the committee and with you, and just see that I talk a little bit more about that.
Mr. Chair,
I think we can see what's happening. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying my best to look at the enacting dates of these changes. I noticed in my, this is stapled backwards, but the trail connections in Section 2 is a 2006. And that one goes up to 2014. The next one is a 2008, and the next one's a 2009 appropriation. Trying to recall what the law says about cancellation, and maybe council can help me, or Representative Hausman, is it 5 years?
Four.
Representative Hausman, maybe
before it cancels, yeah. Mr. Chair, they cancel in 4 years.
Well, I think they go on the list in 4 years, but I think the legislature then they're not automatically for the 5th year. I wonder if Ms. Novak can clarify this completely.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that they do go on, they're put in a report on it 4 years, and that at that time the legislature can act, and if they don't act, they're canceled.
So, Mr. Chair, I think there's another legislative session to do that. Is that correct? Am I reading that correctly?
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if this is on the list for cancellation yet, but there probably is another legislative session.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I share that nervousness on it, and I understand that the corrections are always something we've always done. The other thing is, on the Olmstead, as I read that, it seems to me it's supplying steam, heat, and cooling from a renewable energy, and they're converting to heating, cooling within the existing. Or maybe it needs to have some technical corrections on it to be able to do that. And the other one is the parking facility in Osseo, and that's a 2008. Is that one on the way that needed at the present time in order to to do that, that would not be canceled. Is that something that could be addressed in the next legislative session?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I'm not sure. This was brought to my attention yesterday, and that's why the amendment is here. And that's the note I have here from the senator is that the Department of Finance said that this language needs to be clarified so this project can go forward and the bonding money can be distributed. So I guess they're holding, they're waiting. I take that as that they're waiting for the money to be distributed before they can go forward with this project.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, it may come as a surprise to yourself and some members of this committee, but I'm not always sunshine and roses, and I do have a dark helicopter side that I have to kind of keep at bay. And on what's happening here, you know, the black helicopter side of me says, you know, are we crafting a vehicle that could potentially be used, you know, to purchase some votes for an allotment ratification? No, I'm not sure. But I do have a question, Mr. Chair, and this procedurally, so I do want to, defer to your knowledge, understanding, and institutional history. If a bonding bill were to go to conference committee, and it's very limited on both the House and the Senate side, is any provision that passed either body, whether or not they are in the specific bills, germane to a conference committee report?
I would have to read the rule, but basically I think if it's my initial reaction, and we can double check, maybe Mr. Marks is digging it out, but if it's a project that would have passed one body or the other during the legislative session, it possibly could be included, but we'd have to double check the rule, and I see he's got the rule book out.
And Mr. Chair, I think in my limited
the rule history, is fairly tight that it has to be inserted in another conference committee report. It has to have passed one body or the other.
I believe that's correct, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Solberg,
I had a conversation with the counsel, and I am very understanding and wanting to accommodate this type of thing because I think it's important, but it seems to me that we do have time in the next legislative session to be able to address this issue. I don't want to cause anybody to have any problems with it, and but I think that the Olmsted one is just the chapter 2009. And it almost looks like they could almost do it anyway. The 2008, the Osseo School District, I'm concerned about that, whether or not that can still go forward in a cost-effective way. But it seems to me that there's time for that. And there's even time for the 2006, the first appropriation. So, well, with that, I think we need to really be very, very careful about this. It is coming to my committee, so I just want to put that on that I think we need to have more discussion on this.
Here, Representative Junkie.
Well, no, that was my one of the things he just said is they're adding the use for the problem is we haven't heard these in bonding committee, so clearly when the project was presented, it was presented for building and not parking lot. Maybe they intended to be used for parking lot, Representative Nelson, and that's fine, but they're making that correction now. So we really don't know, you know, was it part of the original that was presented, Representative Hausman's committee, that we all looked at, and it just got missed writing the language and it's being corrected? Is this a new addition that now they do want to do a joint parking lot, so could we use 500,000 over? Now that's what's going on here. So if they do need it to be constructed, I would suggest it could be put in Representative Solberg's committee moving forward. If they need it and they're ready to go June 1st, they just need the bonds issued, then that's more of a priority than maybe the trail, which doesn't look like it's ready to go anytime soon at all if they're going out to 2014. And then just to respond to Representative Biskins, not only can do our rules allow anything that has a House or Senate position to be put into a conference committee bill, even cross-jurisdictionally, but you saw this year in the bonding bill, projects go in that hadn't passed either body at request of the governor. So anything can happen in bonding committee, and it doesn't even probably have to be the same bill.
Okay, the amendment is on the bill. If we choose to, before I took the chair, the committee took action to adopt the Houseman amendment. So if there's a change in direction, there would have to be a motion to reconsider, or we would be voting the bill out with the amendment on. We've had the discussion so long, I just want everybody to understand where we're at right now. Representative Houseman.
Mr. Chair, as I said, I'm going to vote against the bill, but having said that, because it's a bipartisan bill, I feel quite sure it is going to pass. And in a sense, what we're saying is some of this is a question of, does all of this balance? That does sound like an appropriate Ways and Means question, and this does have to go to Ways and Means. So it's possible that some of the unresolved questions happen there.
On the bonding part of it.
Right.
So I'm soliciting advice from the chair of the Capital Investment Committee on, I think we've heard the arguments of why it's needed.
We spend much more time discussing this bill, and it does have another committee.
So we'll move forward with the amendment as it is then. Okay, we've got several people. Representative Champion.
Just for clarification, I know that the bonding projects that I articulated were vetted by the Capital Investment Committee, and I just want to make sure that Representative Eakin and I can talk about that amendment, and I guess this is to Representative Solberg. So if we talk about that and my projects fit somehow in the context of this, would that be appropriate still, or would that still be feasible or possible?
Well, Representative Champion, everything is feasible, possible, and appropriate in the eyes of the beholder. Whether or not there's the fiscal resources for it at this particular time is suspect. I'll tell you that right now. It would be very difficult. It's not a matter of my not supporting those, as I've stated in the past. We could sure have conversations on it, but I think it will be very difficult to put new things in. These are fiscally neutral in that respect. That's the difference between the two.
The question really before us, Representative Champion, and I understand that I think all of us on capital investment supported the projects that you're referring to, is whether we move forward with what is a corrections bill or whether we open it up to a bonding bill. You've raised the question of those projects. Representative Clark has raised the question now of housing. So there's going to be that question when it hits the House floor, if bonding is in it, and what happens to the bill. I mean, I was open to the amendment coming forward because it was a corrections amendment. My intent when I said fine offer the amendment was not to create a new bonding bill but to get those corrections through. That gets to be a much broader question now as to how we move forward. And, you know, and I've got somewhat mixed feelings because these are worthy projects that you're talking about that were unfortunately, in your case, vetoed. In the case of Representative Clark, her division has done some work on housing. It is now before the Capital Investment Committee. Question for the committee is how far we want to open the question of bonding up here this morning. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, I have, again, I go back to my conversation with counsel. There is time for this. The only question is whether or not, as far as the bonding is concerned, the only question is as what Representative Junkie said, is on, like on the parking lot. Was that the original intent, or is this an add-on thing that, that well, we've got some extra money because the bids came in low, so let's build a parking ramp? And or was it just a drafting error in it? I don't know that, but there's time for us to do the other things. That one is probably the one who is, if they're going out to bids, is probably the most, needs probably the most correction, depending upon what was presented to the committee. The question whether it's an add-on because the bids came in lower or if it was just a mistake in the drafting. I'm, again, expressing deep concern about having, because there's no monies available, we're cutting everything, to have this become a bonding bill because there's no resources available for it within the budget resolution. So I almost think I would feel more comfortable not having it in the bill as it proceeds.
Well, it's on the bill now, so if there were a change in direction, it would have to be a motion.
Mr. Chairman, it's okay to go forward, keeping in mind that it would probably not survive Ways and Means. But I don't want to interfere with also the chairs of other committees having the jurisdiction over it and seeing what's happening.
Representative Hausman, you want to move forward with it?
I think we should take Representative Solberg's suggestion.
That okay. Any further discussion on the bill as amended then? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. If you could raise your hand if you support, or all those who, been up too late last night, all those in favor of the bill, raise your hand.
Yes.
Okay, opposed? Okay, the motion prevails 9-6. Okay, now we have Representative Lanning's bill before us, which deals with the flooding issue as well. Representative Paymar, would you care to make a motion?
Do we, Mr. Chair, do we still need to do this?
Yes.
Then I would move the Public Safety Finance Division report for House File 3796.
Okay, the motion is before us to adopt the division report. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Paymar?
And then I would move House File 3796 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us, and then we're going to need an amendment, A1 amendment.
I would move the A1 amendment, and it's the same as the Eakin bill that requires only one appropriation.
Okay, so the amendment before us, any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative, or any discussion then on the bill as amended?
I have a question. Oh.
Representative Champion.
Mr. Chair, so just so I'm clear, there it appears that we just passed the House file with the amendment on it, correct?
That's correct.
And now we are we're passing the entire division report, but it appears that there are two separate numbers. That's what I thought I heard.
The amendment that just went on, Representative Champion, would create a situation where the, if in theory both bills make it all the way through the process, there wouldn't be double counting.
Would the second one have?
There's two vehicles going forward.
So would the second one have the amendment that was placed on it? It would not, correct?
Pardon?
Would the second bill have the Hausman, for lack of a better word, Hausman amendment on it?
No.
Okay.
This one goes forward with just, that's what I mentioned earlier. This is just the flood relief.
And Mr. Chair.
Unless Representative Lanny is stepping forward.
Mr. Chair.
Another discussion. So, I don't think so.
Mr. Chair, and there's a reason for that. This is a Senate file in our position right at the present time. You can't put bonding on a Senate file. Has to have a House file.
No, this is a House file.
This is the House file.
Oh, or this
make
is
the switch later.
They can all make the switch later. I'm sorry.
It's technical.
Okay, it's technical. So, that's correct. Okay.
Representative Champion.
So with that, because I was on the prevailing side of the motion, is it possible for me to make a motion to reconsider? Because if my provisions of what I believe to be important can't be on that vehicle, then I want to vote against the vehicle, the entire bill.
You're talking about which bill now?
I'm talking about...
There's no bonding on this one. This is just the flood relief at the 3.6, okay. And the amendment says it can't be double counted. Now, are you talking about the previous bill?
So, okay, yes, but now it makes better sense because what I can do is not support this particular vehicle because it does not have the amendment on it that I would like to have on it if I'm going to use it as a vehicle for the...
Okay. are we okay right now?
So, Alberti just whispered in my ear, and I just have some new information. Let me say that.
Okay, so any further discussion than Representative Champion? Are we?
Well, I think we're okay, but I just wanted to be clear that I am going to vote against this particular bill because it does not have the vehicle language on it, and I don't want that to proceed without having that opportunity.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking forward to Representative Hausman whispering in my ear.
Okay, any further discussion?
That may not happen.
Seeing none, then Representative Amar renews his motion that House File 3796 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
Division?
Division has been requested. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries 8-4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
That was fun.
Yeah, we've got Representative Marquardt's bill will take up next, and
let me just say for those that sometimes you have to go for a drive. And so let's just kind of keep that in mind, members.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Okay, it's Representative Dunn here. The chair moves the State Government Finance Division report for House File 2227, the first committee engrossment, as amended. You have amendments in your packet that were adopted and are part of the committee report. They just met this morning. That's what I meant by we're on kind of the last week, and so we're out doing some drives. Meaning moving things rather rapidly. So these amendments are part of the division report. Any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. And the chair moves then at House File 2227, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And the fiscal note, this is in their packets. Okay, the fiscal note that's being passed out has the amount of $50,000 instead of $355 on the impact on the general fund. And that was part of the amendment we just adopted, I'm reminded. Okay, Representative Marquardt on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members, and I appreciate your indulgence very much for hearing this today. And I just, first of all, want to start out that this bill is actually a combination of four innovation bills that were introduced this year. Representative Hilties, Representative Downey, Representative Thiessen, Representative Mariani. So it's a conglomeration of all of those bills. I know your time is a premium here, so I will get to the point. Members, this council is going to be a vital tool to addressing our budget challenges into the future. And the reason I say that is because this council only task, and it can focus like a laser beam, put its entire heart and soul into looking at how to get a better result, a better outcome at a better price, always putting the taxpayer first at every instance. It looks at system redesign, which can create huge efficiencies. It looks at how can it remove burdensome bureaucracy and streamline government and let a state and local government operate and provide top-notch services to its citizens at the best cost. It also would commission studies, for example, a consumer report on what works best and where you get the best dollar. In short, what this does, it can be free of politics, can be free of working on the budget, and it can focus simply on looking at big redesign items and ways in which to provide more accountability, value, and efficiency to taxpayers. So, and as you know from those who are on the Rules Committee, the appropriation is now moved from $350,000 to $50,000. So, members, I'll take questions. I know you're...
Okay, and this is one that was presented in the vision then this morning and passed out. Any discussion on the bill? Representative Junkie, did you have your hand up?
Well, I was just, since this is a finance committee, I was wondering which finance committee, and Representative Hilty Inkle, the state government finance, and again, Representative Solberg is staying there, but maybe you know too, again, so this money then is in our budget resolution for that committee, or it's taking off the bottom line? Where do we get the $50,000? That, again, my committee doesn't have any money, so where do they get theirs?
It's when the House budget resolution was passed, there was a designation for other bills, and the other bills, kind of the big ticket ones that we hoped as we went through the process we would be able to address was MRF. We passed that out at $10 million. Financial aid, Representative Rucavina was here. That has been talked about since the beginning of the session, and flood relief was talked about very early on, as well as we went through the process if we would be able to address those issues. And the reason we're taking them up near the end, we wanted to get the other appropriations bills complete. Had we had additional problems with some of those, we probably wouldn't have been able to deal with the issues that we are the issues that we are
right. And, Mr. Chair,
so I just want to make it clear: we always planned from the get-go. When I say we, I'm just speaking as a member of Representative Solberg's committee. That if there were an opportunity to correct some of these other pressing issues like pensions and financial aid, we would try to do that.
And Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, and I understand. I guess my question is even more, maybe it's more focused right to this, and I know it's a ways and means issue, but I'm just curious, again, you said now there's 800,000 approximately on the bottom line. Then will this come off that, or have you already accounted for this prior to your... Is this already built into your bottom line with the pensions and everything else? Or is that something you'll do when you get to your committee
Mr.
now?
Mr. Chairman, I think the fiscal staff is always updating these type of things. There are also sometimes when there's some savings in a bill, so that changes. And sometimes, let me give you an example. The very first bill we passed was a federal conformity, and that was a $10,000 cost. That's been counted in the budget resolution, and that was updated the last time we met, or the time before, in Ways and Means. So this is, there's been some savings in other bills that they've discovered afterwards, after the fact. So $50,000 is...
So when this comes to Ways and Means, Mr. Chair, this will just be accounted for at that point in time. It has right. been accounted for up to now, but you'll account for it as it moves through your committee.
That's absolutely...
And it was, Representative Junkie, as I was trying to point out, there was always the risk factor as we went through there. We could have had unanticipated costs going through the process. Sure. And so that's why we set other bills and are now addressing the other bills like we did pensions the other day near the end.
Mr. Chairman, just another example of that. Generally in the claims bills, we have to book a couple $100,000. The claims bill came in this year at 92. So that gives us a little bit more flexibility for something such as this.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, let's see, this is 2227. The chair renews his motion then that House File 2227, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Representative
Edison. Mr. Chair, members, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we're done. Carlson. Okay, we're moving to Senate File 1679.
Yeah, and,
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that.
Did you want to move?
Early retirement. So I want to get organized here. I'd like to move that Senate File 1679 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
And then you have an amendment?
Yes, and I have an amendment. Mr. Chairman, the DE1 amendment, and I think that's been distributed. So yes. I would move the amendment. And Mr. Chairman, I just explained the amendment because this, in effect, becomes the bill. And what we have done is worked with MMB, AFSCME, and MAPE to establish an early retirement incentive, and hopefully this will provide some savings. This incentive provides that for up to 24 months, the appointing authority will deposit in the employee's health care savings plan the employer contribution as specified in the collective bargaining agreement or compensation plan for health and dental insurance. And the amount includes dependents. This incentive is available at the discretion of the appointing authority. So they would review the situation, and if there were savings, then they would grant those 2 years of health insurance. That would be an incentive for some of the employees to retire early. So that's it. In a nutshell, and it will help with the management of some of the downsizing in state government. So we would like to go for a drive here this morning.
All right, discussion of DE1 amendment, Representative Murphy.
He called
that. Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson. So the management or agency has to approach the employee to say, are you willing to retire now?
Well, I...
Or Representative can the Carlson. Employee say, I would like to be on the list of people that could save money?
The,
Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, my interpretation of that would be that the employee, this would be an incentive that would be available, and that the employee then would go to their boss. We refer to them as the appointing authority, and say, I would like to apply for the early retirement incentive. And it would be the decision in the end of that appointing authority to decide whether there would actually be a savings. This has all been negotiated with MMB and the governor's office as well, to give the green light to that early retirement. And this has been negotiated over, by the way, the past year.
Representative Murphy. Chair, Representative Carlson, I understand that, and I was approached about this provision, substituting for a provision in the bill that we will hear later on today, and I just want all my questions answered. Does the agency have to announce in some way that they are offering this early retirement incentive?
The bill doesn't require that, but it's been worked out with the unions that were interested in the issue, and so I'm sure that there will be adequate publicity. This was originally an option that was brought forward by AFSCME. I'm sure they will let their membership know, and the employer may let people know as well if there's potential savings, because as we know with earlier action and the action that may be before us yet, there's going to be a downsizing in state government. And so this is a gentler way of perhaps avoiding some layoffs if they can get some of the employees who are close to retirement willing to retire a bit early and avoid some layoffs.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy. Representative Carlson, roll with me on this as we go along.
I'm very willing to go for the drive.
In your truck. Let us say that there were two employees, twins, that were hired on the same day. And one went to work for Agency A, and the other one went to work for Agency B. Does the possibility exist that employee, they're identical twins. Is the possibility exists that the employee that went to work for A will be able to retire in this 24 months and receive this money into their retirement health or the employee's health fund or whatever you called it. And B is not going to be offered that same incentive.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, entirely possible. And as we know, health care provisions, and I'll use an example that both you and I would be familiar with as retired teachers, you might have those twins, one working for School District A and the other one working for School District B, that might be treated differently simply because they have a different appointing authority.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, the incentive is in the health insurance, is it not? The incentive is not in the retirement plan or the benefit plans that are administered by PERA, MSRS, TRA, and St. Paul Teachers, Duluth Teachers.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, the repeat your question.
Representative Murphy.
I was up late last night. I was up later than what the session was going, so.
So was I, Mr. Chair.
Oh, good.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson,
next question.
The incentive the incentive part of this package is within the health benefits that the employee receives.
This is just a health care benefit.
That's right.
And we did check, if I may, Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, if there would be a negative impact on the pensions. And as you know, I think I shared that memo with you. There would not be.
That concludes my questions, Mr. Chair. This is a health benefit, health care benefit, as an incentive. So someone may think about checking out their retirement, but the retirement is not the incentive. What they receive from the retirement plan that they are in is not the incentive. The health care benefit is their incentive. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman,
Carlson.
One of the reasons that I had a lapse there was that to show you where we are in the legislative session, members was already signing the reports so things can be referred when we get to the House floor.
Representative Junk.
So sorry for the lapse there, but I was signing some things.
Representative Carlson, just pensions 101. So I assume the reason we're doing this is it would end up being a cost savings to a department if they could get a high-end employee out, even by paying the additional health benefit, either then the position stays open or is not filled, or even by hiring a low-pay employee or new hire at a lesser rate. The net out for the department, supposedly in all those scenarios, would be a positive. Is that the reason
that's
we do this?
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, and that was part of what was negotiated, that that appointing authority can exercise this option for employees if there is a savings to the department. Okay. And you're absolutely right, it could be.
So that would be in the twin sibling scenario, the reason sibling B might not get it is there wouldn't be a cost savings calculated for that particular position.
Right. Okay. Representative Schimansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but Representative Junkie just asked my question.
Very good.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on this bill as amended? What? Okay. That's right. We haven't adopted. All right. We need to adopt the amendment. So any further discussion on the amendment? DE 1 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried.
And Mr. Chairman, the amendment became the bill, so
right.
That's what we have.
Okay. So I renew Representative Carlson's motion to Senate File 1679 as meant to be recommended to pass and placed in general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. We are. We meet Monday, May 10th at 9 a.m. in this room. Meeting is adjourned.